You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Tuesday, September 2nd. A local seaside contractor has filed a complaint against the city, alleging nearly 2 years of mismanagement of the Avenue S homeless encampment site. That site was relocated, and city public work crews began to clean it up in the aftermath in mid-August. In an employment complaint filed with the Oregon Occupational and Safety Health Division, Randy Anderson, the owner of Anderson Painting, located on Avenue S, alleged that the city did not provide public work crews with necessary protective equipment when they cleaned up the campsite. He further claimed the city employees were exposed to rats, human waste, and hazardous materials, including drugs and needles. Anderson claimed the conditions of the site existed prior to the cleanup and have been an issue for the neighboring community since 2023. Oregon OSHA officials confirmed that there is currently an open complaint, but did not discuss additional details. The city of Seaside has not yet been notified about a possible state investigation, according to city manager Spencer Kyle. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. A former Nestucca High School principal and district administrator will take over as acting superintendent of the Nestucca Valley School District in Tillamook County following the sudden resignation of the former superintendent 2 weeks before the start of the school year. Ken Richwine has more than 30 years of experience with the district. His compensation package is still being negotiated. Misty Wharton, the former superintendent, did not provide any reasons for her resignation. At the meeting where Richwine was appointed, school board president Greg Woods said the board had not requested Wharton's resignation, that the split was amicable, and that Wharton will receive a year of salary and benefits from the district. Wharton had served as superintendent for 8 years and had been with the district in various roles for more than 2 decades. In recent years, she faced criticism from some community members over issues of trans youth participating in sports, criminal convictions of former district staff, and alleged incidents of mishandling situations with students. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. It's been 5 years since Oregon's Labor Day fires, one of the most extreme fire events in the state's history. After more than 1 million acres burned, all the firefighters packed up and headed home. Then it was the scientists' turn to head out into the woods. The sheer size and severity of the Labor Day fires gave them a unique chance to learn what happens after the burn. OPB's Jess Burns reports.
Sometimes, to understand what's happening in a stream, scientists have to go fishing.
I'm ready whenever. Fire in the hole.
Field crew leader David Lear is knee-deep in remote and rocky Cedar Creek east of Salem.
Fishy, fishy! Oh, I saw one.
The forest around the stream burned in the 2020 Beachy Creek fire, one of the Labor Day fires. The beeps come from his bulky hard plastic backpack. He waves a metal probe in the water in front of him.
If you can hear the beeping and put your hand in the water, you're probably going to get a little jolt.
This is electrofishing.
Electrofishing is temporarily stunning the fish in the water and then snatching them up as fast as you can in a net. You know, we look like a Ghostbuster.
Allison Swartz is an Oregon State University stream ecologist.
The fish are doing their best to hide from us.
There's a fish at 3 o'clock, I think.
Yep.
Nice. There it is right there.
I think that was a rainbow trout.
All the fish, tadpoles, crayfish, and giant salamanders they catch will be counted, weighed, and measured before being released back into the stream. The data are helping the team understand how streams changed following the Labor Day fires. U.S. Forest Service biologist Brooke Penaluna.
So this study is unique in that we have 30 streams, you know, across 3 big megafires in western Oregon.
The streams they're studying are diverse. The Labor Day fires burned around them at different severities. And the forests they're in have been managed in a variety of ways. There's tree plantations, more natural mixed-age forests, areas where the burned trees were salvage logged after the fire, and some unburned streams for comparison, says Swartz.
The reality is that wildfires are increasing on the landscape in severity and size. And so in terms of understanding how we manage our forests and these ecosystems, we need to know what's happening because we're really just kind of at the start of what we're going to begin to see in the future.
Okay, get ready. It's going to get exciting.
Every summer since the fires, crews have tested water quality and how the animals in the streams have fared.
Fish in your net. Oh, out of your net. Going down. That was brutal. It jumped right in your net.
Right in the net and then
jumped out. And then gone.
Many of the species depend on clean, cold water to flourish. But much of what's left around Cedar Creek are trees like charred matchsticks. Without the canopy, the sun beats down on the water much of the day. Yet Swartz has started seeing some surprising trends.
Despite stream temperatures getting really warm in these systems after the fire, the fish populations are remaining just as high or higher than the unburned sites.
The researchers are still unpacking exactly why. One theory is that more sun means more algae, which feeds the food web. Also, without trees and vegetation sucking up the water on stream banks, there's more left for the rivers, says Penaluna.
With the extra rains that are coming straight down and into the stream with that runoff, you're getting additional fringe habitats along the streams.
And it's not just fish. Preliminary results are showing that the wildfires haven't caused declines in amphibians either. But the researchers have seen fewer frogs in places where heavy post-fire salvage logging happened. For the longest time, stream ecosystems were thought to suffer because of wildfire. But in the 5 years since the Labor Day fires, these scientists are seeing signs that the trout and other species that call the Cascades home are thriving.
Essentially, everything we thought we knew about fire, we've kind of turned it on its head here on the west side of Oregon.
And the research shows that the tragedy of the Labor Day fires has turned into an opportunity. A chance to figure out the best way to manage our forests after wildfire, to protect our streams and all the life they contain.
Yep, it's right here. That's a different fish.
In the scar of the Beachy Creek fire, I'm Jess Burns reporting.
For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Increasing clouds tonight, lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with highs near 70. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news at kmun.org/news. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.